You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Hope things are going good for you. Hope you had a decent weekend, and a lot of folks are sick. This part of the country has, except for Tennessee so far, not one of the states affected by this flu epidemic. Mississippi is, Arkansas is, but somehow Tennessee is one of those states that hasn't seen the influx of how bad this is. ERs across America are jam full of people. So it's either head colds like we've had up here for, I don't know, since November, I think. But the flu is a whole different thing. Your body hurts and you feel bad. So keep your eyes on all of that and don't spread it around, please. Today, I don't know, coming up, the dumbasses of the day, about 7:15. And a few things going on in the world. It was National Football League weekend. The playoffs began. Tonight, the national championship game is on at 7 o'clock our time. Or is it the SEC championship game? It's both. Georgia, Alabama tonight at the Mercedes-Benz, whatever it is, dome in Atlanta. That's in Georgia. So there seems to be kind of an added, home crowd, home field advantage. Maybe Alabama also is in that part of the country. And it'll be packed, full of people. The game should be incredible. It seems to hinge on the crushing Alabama defense against a young rookie Georgia quarterback. The line, I guess, was 4.5 on Friday. I haven't checked it. Alabama, the favorite was Bama. So tonight we'll see, after God knows how many hours of pregame tailgating hype that nobody needs. So the games yesterday were a pretty good. I saw some pieces of the ones yesterday. I skipped out on Saturday and just slept. But tonight, the college season comes to a close as we inch ever nearer to baseball season, as these some of the managers and front office guys are hitting Florida this week in advance of the players showing up in about 38, 39 days, something like that. So that is coming up. The Grizz don't play again until Wednesday. The Tigers beat Tulsa over the weekend. A good win for them, I suppose. And what else? There's stacks of stuff here. The weather has broken across this country. The Arctic blast that had this entire country, or the Midwest, Northeast and Southeast, just colder than the Dickens. It snowed in Florida, for goodness sake. It didn't snow in Florida. They had ice and snow in Savannah, Georgia, in Charleston, where it just never happens. But this bomb, this snow bomb thing on the East Coast, has caused problems that nobody foresaw. As it thaws, it's creating rivers in streets. I guess Kennedy Airport yesterday was beyond any kind of chaos anybody has seen. People had been stuck there since Thursday and or Friday. There were flights canceled. They couldn't get people out of there. Then one of the water mains broke, and there were feet of water in that airport. People lined up and fighting and hollering, and it was just awful to watch this and imagine being in the middle of it. And then this morning I heard the news that these greedy sons of bees are going to keep adding more seats to airlines. American was the culprit that was discussed this morning. From what used to be 150, then it was 160. Now it'll be 172. So they can cram in some more bodies into seats where they won't fit. And the rows get, squinched in even more than ever, making it's just going to be hell on earth to travel anywhere. So this is all coming up, plus some new TSA requirements that may make boarding passes a thing of the past. You flash your license, which will then that will verify that you're on the plane manifest for the flight and so on. So the airlines just get richer and make the rest of us more uncomfortable. And that's just, what are your options? The bus or the train or walk?
They only go so far.
Or get a horse. I mean, it really is just becoming, it's just not pleasant to fly. On that note, though, on a note of optimism for this city, which, as everyone knows, has had a airport issue ever since Northwest gave up. Well, they didn't give up. They just lost their hub status in this town, and it's been kind of touch and go ever since then. And the Airport Authority Board has been working on this ever since. We've had, bless you. It's going to be one of those sneezing days, kids. Eat your Allegra, then take your nose spray and wash your nose out in the shower. I've already done all that stuff, and that still kind of only puts it off for a while. The airport is fixing to get into a pretty intense three-year reconstruction. $214 million as they modernize the B concourse. That's been happening for a couple of years. And they have sped up the chess moves of gates, concessions, and amenities to serve people in the A and C concourses. So things will look busy. They will be busy. And Jack Sammons, who we ought to get on the show to discuss all of this and explain what's happening. We are at the dawn of immense change, says Brother Jack. In this organization, and as we shoehorn everybody into ANC, there are going to be some folks in this town who are so excited that the airport all of a sudden is busy again. Yes, they will be. So this news came out over the weekend after being teased a bit over the past couple of months, and now they will be putting this all together. I'm not sure if it will shrink the airport or what it does. This was a long, long story.
There's going to be one more gate added to the B concourse from what there is now, but they're stripping that whole concourse down to just the foundation pretty much and rebuilding it from the underside up with more natural lighting, higher ceilings, wider corridors. So it'll look a lot nicer and probably be just a lot better to deal with once it's done in about 3 years.
I guess it'll be in some ways condensed, because now when you go there, there are some areas that are just completely barren of anything. But all this, I think, will make it look like Jack said, a lot busier and like there's a lot more going on. And so that is a good thing. So we're going to try to get Jack Sammons on here. He's been at the forefront of this situation for several years now, and we will talk to him at some point. We have Kevin Kane coming up. We have the mayor of South Haven coming up, Darren Musselwhite, to discuss what is a pretty gigantic move down there between Goodman and Church on Gitwell as they add this huge town square. This will take about 7 years to be completed, but once it's done, the traffic down there can't even sustain what it has now. Hopefully they have plans to accommodate some of that traffic as this goes along, but my goodness, this should be fun to watch. The place looks like it'll be beautiful with retail and apartments and office space and restaurants and all of that. But South Haven Olive Branch have grown so much. There's so much retail and so many restaurants and lots of empty bays down there in some of these strip malls. We'll see if they can handle the growth and the addition of even more. We will find out and talk to that mayor, Mr. Musselwhite. What is it, a week from Friday? Mm-hmm. Is Kevin on this Friday?
Or yes.
Okay. So all those things are coming up, plus our usual guests tomorrow from the mayor's office, Kyle Veazey, to discuss various things, and from the commercial appeal, David Waters. Speaking of the mayor's office and the city, over the weekend, I completely spaced this. I just didn't put it in my list of things to check on because it seemed anticlimactic and like there are people. Well, the Confederate rally that was planned, it all went on. the basics I can make from the newspaper are that it wasn't much to deal with. The police had a pretty good presence down there. There was a caravan of about 50 vehicles that began downtown and went to South Haven. Then they waved their little flags and went home. This could have been a bad scene, I think, but once again, this city has proven against, well, some pretty tall odds that not everybody here is a dumbass, that the police have this under control, and that at some point, some of these things just are not necessary to activate about, to be activists, to raise hell and holler and all of that, because you're yelling into the wind over an issue that has been discussed, decided upon, and let's move along. There are those that will be offended by any number of things involving race and history, and they all have their individual backstories and reasons for being there or reasons for being gone. But just to complain is becoming tiresome. So that came and went with no particular issue whatsoever. So good for them, good for the MPD and those involved in keeping that straight, because it might have been a little bit weird. Over the weekend, you did not win Powerball, or you did not win Mega, whatever it was. Somebody did, but it sure wasn't us. Let's see, the one in Florida, that was Mega Million. Somebody down there won that. They won $450 million. 28, 30, 39, 59, 70, and the ball that won it all was 10. In a little town in New Hampshire called Merrimack. Isn't this the way it always is?
Yes.
Gosh damn it. Somebody up there in this little bitty town that probably lives in a little tiny house and raises chickens and knits sweaters and and watches Wheel of Fortune and kind of just hangs out. Or they could be millionaires already for all I know. Won $559 million. A little bitty convenience store in Merrimack, New Hampshire sold the ticket. 12, 29, 30, 33, and 61. The Powerball number was 26. So when you break that down, let's just say they get half of that. They're going to get about $260 million, right? They'll pay a third in taxes, correct?
Right, at least.
And then they're going to still be doing all right. They can probably buy Merrimack, New Hampshire themselves if they so choose. So that is over. Now it goes back to where it begins at 40 for Powerball, and I'm not sure where the Mega Million starts, but it's a lot of dang money. Let's just say that. So good for them. The other story over the that was big last week, and these stories that are big 1 week tend to fade off into the sunset over the course of a weekend. This one is not. The security issues involving your computer or your phone. Over the chips, the Intel chips that were distributed by two companies, Meltdown and Spectre, had a bunch of folks really concerned, as they should be. Although this has been going on and been in the news, not in the news. It's been talked about and known about for months, if not years. And then the news broke last week that every computer in the world is likely affected by this. But this story here indicates maybe that people have gotten on top of this, as they should have. And Microsoft had an update that likely ran on your PC over the weekend. Apple was affected too, but they are just saying update your phone and your Mac now. Apple Watches aren't affected. Oh, well,
okay.
That's wonderful. God bless. It just says in summary, if you download the newest app from Microsoft, Apple, or Linux, then the problem is fixed and you don't have to worry. Well, that's a pretty, pretty broad statement. If you aren't up to date, you're probably already in trouble. You know, most of these PCs have got firewalls from Xfinity or whatever your server is. Those are pretty strong. I've checked mine a lot, and it says there are no problems anywhere. Not now. Not gonna be. Chill out. Calm down. Just have fun. So,
right.
This will likely force a redesign of some of these things going forward, but it'll be a long time before they get brand new operating systems on these machines, and hopefully we won't someday watch our stuff just all crash and burn.
Yeah, because it's a basic chip flaw, but the one that is affecting the most chips is a lot harder, apparently, to exploit.
Which one is it?
That's the Spectre.
Yeah.
That's on more chips than just Intel. But if it's that hard to exploit, then anyone trying to exploit it has probably got a bigger financial target than you and I.
Yeah, right. That was the point was that there are two different targets, you know, you and me and you know, us. And then there's banks and there's governments and things like that. And those likely are the targets, not little people like us. So that's good. And we can maybe rest easy about that. And that's, you know, one less thing. The Golden Globes were last evening. I fell asleep at some point during it.
That sums it all up right there.
Well, you know, I there's no way and no need to minimize the impact of what went down in 2017 and in the area of harassment. And it began in Hollywood and was rampant and widespread in Hollywood. Harvey Weinstein was the biggie, and then Kevin Spacey, and then the floodgates opened to politicians and other people, and it continues to open. And so last night, the Hollywood people, and I don't think it was really inappropriate, stood hand in hand, arm in arm, a unified nation. The women all wore black for the most part, and made speeches involving the treatment of women and so on and so forth. And yes, they are justified in these comments. It just gets to me to be a little bit, I'm not sure what the word is, when you're trying to mix Hollywood and politics and things like this, I suppose you choose your forums wherever you can find them. And this was certainly one last night. And there was no shortage of commentary. Oprah made her long involved speech. Many of these people. Seth Meyers was the host, and he was funny and made some comments about this and about Mr. Trump. But Trump was not the target of many people last night, which was kind of a nice change. I mean, you know, at some point it's just getting. I just saw this story yesterday about the fatigue of American people over outrage. Everybody is outraged about something, and everybody needs to stop bitching, I guess, and just, you know, just deal with it. There were a Natalie Portman is mentioned, and I saw Laura Dern make her case, and they all made intelligent cases for how that business is run, how they treat women, how they've always, you know, they get paid less. And the point was made, I think, and very, very clearly. The big winners last night, and there were no real surprises, but this program was interesting in a number of ways. The advertising throughout the entire show was for everything from TNT to Netflix to Showtime to things that are not network TV. NBC took the occasion to promote a number of their upcoming shows, which is fine. But it's just strange to see all these other other platforms advertising the heck out of their shows, which just says, you know, please turn off network TV and watch us. Well, that's because their shows are better. NBC had a couple of winners last night that were deserving, I suppose. I haven't seen the one that won. What is it called? We Are Us, We Is Us, We Am Them. I don't know. This Is Us. And that was a pretty big deal. The Handmaid's Tale won a bunch, but the film that had the most winners, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. The previews of that and the making I saw of that looked just a great cast. Frances McDormand won for Best Actress. My man Sam Rockwell, I love that guy. He won for Best Supporting Actor. Best Screenplay, Best Picture, and on and on and on. Gary Oldman, one of the best actors of our time, won the Best Actor for a Motion Picture, I guess drama, for Darkest Hour, the story of Winston Churchill. Lady Bird won a couple of things. The Shape of Water won a couple of things. There's a whole list elsewhere. Some folks watched this, some didn't, because most people have not seen these movies. Dunkirk, I don't think, won anything. As discussed last week, it just wasn't what it could have been, many of us thought. But there was some discussion and some speech-making and some talk about the future of brutally powerful men and how they abuse that power. And there's no disputing that fact. So if you watched it, great. I suspect many did not. But we'll see once those numbers come out. The ratings, I'm guessing, for tonight for this football game are going to be off the charts. Well, you know what? Maybe they won't. This is the SEC. This is not about anybody in the Midwest, the Big Ten, the Big 12, Pac-12, ACC. It's about the SEC. So I guess the haters of the SEC, and they have good reason. The only answer is, why don't you get some better football teams out there, West Coast people? They hate the SEC. Tough titties. Tonight is Georgia, Alabama. It should be a lot of fun to watch. Over the weekend, our beloved president, old Donnie John, bless his heart, he's just a never-ending source of entertainment. I don't even know where to start. Last week, it's hard to keep up. Thursday, Friday, this book, The Fire and the Fury, has come out and sold out. I went on to Amazon just to order it, just to see what's in there. Now, the book has been endorsed by some, disparaged by some, but boy, it has caused a lot of talk. And Friday would have been the 5th of January. And there is a wait on that book for something like 2 weeks, which is unheard of on the Amazon. So it's a big deal. People are concerned about Mr. Trump's mental state, which I don't think is a reach to be concerned about it. His mental acuity. There have been people in the White House having meetings with a number of folks about this man's brain. Discussions about how smart he is or not, and on and on. And I the stuff in this book is pretty damaging, but already about 3 days into this, it's starting to feel like that people are kind of used to this stuff. And once again, the fatigue over outrage may overtake things like this. But he doesn't help his case when he decides yesterday to do this series of tweets that seem to almost endorse the fact that he sometimes just doesn't act real smart. Actually, throughout my life, says Mr. Trump, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being, like, really smart. Was the word like necessary, like in there, like? I don't know why he used that. That seems unusual. Crooked Hillary Clinton. You know, let's drag her tired old ass into this. Also played these cards very hard. And as everyone knows, went down in flames. I went from very successful businessman to top TV star to president of the U.S. on my first try. I think that would qualify as not smart, but genius, and a very stable genius at that. America, rest easy. We have a stable genius in charge. No problem.
Okay. This was at 7:30 a.m. I'm wondering, was this an early start for him, or was he still up from the day before?
I don't know. He was at Camp David with some of the kids hanging out, discussing strategy, or just watching cartoons and pouring down Diet Coke. I don't know. But it's just becoming so farcical that it's really almost too easy to make fun of. The problem is he's the president of the country. And there are some more issues at hand and there are going to be issues at hand every day. Most everybody has already laughed off and written off Jeff Sessions and these idiotic comments about marijuana of last week. The impact is intense. These things happen. Everybody goes, oh, my God. And then you realize that it's a distraction. It's not going to happen. He's not going to do a thing about a thing. He can't. So these people just play these games to keep you on edge and make sure you're paying attention. The only other thing that is annoying, I believe it is an attempt at a negotiation and at this what's the word? Leverage, I suppose, when it comes to discussing money for the border wall, which is not going to happen ever the way that it was proposed and laid out. It's too long, 2,026 individual miles that goes for a fur piece. But the possibility of this being done seems to be very unlikely. Mr. Trump has his master plan is out. $33 billion is what he's asking for initially. Of that, $18 billion is for the border wall, and the other would be for technology, personnel, and readiness. So this thing goes on and on and on. What they're proposing here is a partial. Some kind of a wall that will cover an additional 300 miles and replace existing walls and secondary walls and on and on and on. And he's dangling the DACA situation over these children that have been here, but they are not documented. And so the game playing continues, and we'll see if they have the wherewithal to figure it out. Who knows? But at least we know he's a stable genius. Everything is cool. Don't worry. We'll do a break and come back and check the sports, what there is of it. Any emails you'd care to write to the program are fine. We enjoy hearing from the majority of you. The place to write that is mail@drakeinthemorning.com. And we will look at them and the sports and do some dumbasses of the day here about 7:15. In the meantime, please be careful. It's wet out, and you know what that can do around here. So be safe. Have a good day. There's football tonight, and you can, heck, it'll be Tuesday tomorrow. We'll do a break and come back after this, and good luck out there in the world, kids.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.